There's no I in team, but there is one in Indeed, and that's the hiring platform that you need to build yours. When you're hiring, you need Indeed. Instead of spending hours on multiple job sites searching for candidates with the right skills, Indeed's a powerful hiring platform that can help you do it all. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy because Indeed does the hard work for you. They show you the candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your description immediately after you post so you can hire faster. Join more than 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Start hiring now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Offer good for a limited time. Claim your $75 credit now at Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. And support the show by saying that you heard it on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire Sports. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
To another edition of MLB DFS Quick Hits, your Thursday, July 27th edition. Small little set of action we got going today. Three game early, five game main. Not the best of pitching. You got the obvious guy up top, and then other than that, taking gambles all over the place tonight because there are bats for days. Let's see what we have. Quick look at the weather on your eight overall games today. Brewers Nationals, not bad at all. Slight chance, like 15% chance to rain. Same with Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim and the Cleveland Indians, about 15% chances. And Yankees, about 15%, but late in the night it gets thick. So if it's a long game, we're in trouble. Very, very humid in the Bronx. Good hitting environment right there. St. Louis, 25 to 30% chances. Hopefully not too bad. Very, very humid there. Another nice hitting environment. Cubs, White Sox, wind blowing out to right field down the line. Super humid there as well. So three really, really, really humid games. Jeez, even in San Diego between the Mets and the Padres. So Petco Park might be a little livelier than normal. But four really, really humid games with decent temperatures create very nice hitting environments on your Thursday. Let's look at your totals on the three-game early slate. You got Brewers Nationals at 8. Angels, Indians at 9, A's, Blue Jays at 9. When you're talking the late slate, Rays, Yankees, 8.5, Reds, Marlins, 9.5. D-backs, Cardinals, we are still waiting on a total because we got Luke Weaver. Got the call-up filling in for Adam Wainwright. So Weaver making a start, still waiting on that one. As you go on a little further here, Cubs, White Sox, 10.5. Mets, Padres, 8.5. Interesting stuff to attack tonight. So, heck, let's get at it. Your three-game early slate, your top price guy, the guy, he's going to be chalkier than chalk, and you're going to want to do it. Max Scherzer, $13,800 at home against the Milwaukee Brewers. We talked about how Milwaukee's boomer bust. Well, we've seen it firsthand against Edwin Jackson going deep. But then the boom and the bust, the risk and the reward yesterday. He faced Gio Gonzalez. Gio gets hit around a little bit, gives up, you know, three or four runs, whatever it was. Also had a handful of strikeouts, and he ended up with 20-plus, close to 30 points. I had him going in one lineup. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. I should have had this for you ahead of time, but it's pretty impressive looking at what he actually put together out there. That's the different one. Just one second. There he is. He's still got 24.15 points. Giving up 2 earned, 1 walk, and 7 innings, 8 Ks, 5 hits. So very productive. Very productive, and that's the risk-reward you get. Now you got Scherzer, who's $13,800. Much different price tag, to say the least. Little rocky start his last time out. 5 innings, 5 earned on 8 hits at Arizona. It's tough. Good start against Cincinnati. 33-3, 25-1, 41-4, 25-7, 39-5, 35-2, 30.1, 44.8, 43.8. He's pretty good. Pretty good at baseball. And the strikeout rate and all that good stuff. He's 8th best on the barrel, 5th the last 30 days. Getting barrel 3.17% of the time, striking out 37.3. Mad Max definitely on the radar. If you want to go $2,300 cheaper, the other five-digit man is Marcus Stroman. He's 11-5 at home against the Oakland Athletics. He's been much better at home than on the road. It's just, I always say with Stroman, he's like a 20 to 25 point guy at best, which we'll take in a heartbeat. But he also has that ability to get hit around. But as a whole, really, really good guy. On this slate, makes a phenomenal matchup against an A's team that's very, very free swinging. They strike out 25.3% of the time versus right-handed pitching. Last 30 days, he's 15th best on the barrel FIP, so he's gotten a lot better. He's gotten barreled 0.00% of the time the last 30 days, striking out 21.5%. His problem is he's walking almost 10.4%. If he can lay off the walks, he's going to be in a very nice spot today facing an A's team whose team's total is 4-1-7. That's second lowest on the slate, second lowest only to Mad Max versus the Brewers. So Stroman, definitely worth a look if you want to deviate away from Mad Max, where most will try to pay for, or maybe they go pay to Stroman and Mad Max isn't the chalk. Either way, both guys are definitely worth a look, and I think you're going to want at least one of them matched with a lower guy. It's going to be hard to do both and get the good bats, but I think you need at least one. It's kind of like yesterday, where you need Severino or Sale. If you get to pull both off, you're sitting real pretty. So if you can pull it off, we'll get to the bats, we'll figure it out. But for now, that's what you're looking at. Down below, you pick your poison between Trevor Bauer, who we know is hit and miss, but he's got some upside. The Angels just, he's averaging 13 his last 10, 15.3 his last time out. Angels are a team that only strikes out 20% of the time versus right-handed pitching. You have Bauer, he's striking out 25.7, so you got a good ground ball rate, but hard contact's not ideal and a decent home run to fly ball. Angels have been hitting it pretty well in this series, especially two games ago. 4-2-4 team total is third lowest on the slate. 3-1, 3-19 for lefties, 3-24 for righties. Bauer's got some K upside, risky, but at 77, not bad. The other guy I'd be looking at, if you're not using Marcus Stroman, Sean Manaea at 67. Yes, not a great start against the Mets his last time out in New York, but then 27, 10.4, 19.1. 13.6, 18.1, 11.5, 20.4, 23.3, 33.4. All double digits. I want at least double digits, preferably much more for 6,700, but on this slate, I will take double digits. Averaging 15.7 points on the road. Blue Jays team that does strike out 21.5% of the time versus left-handed pitching. Manaea striking out 23.3 on the season. He has an outstanding swinging striker at a 12.8. Okay, swinging strike at 46.2. Last 30 days, though, he is 20th worst on the barrel FIP, and he broke 4.3% of the time. In those days, only 15.83% strikeout rate. So strikeouts have been down the last 30 days. So beware on that one. And when you're looking at the Blue Jays, they have a high total of 4.83. Lefties only 2.33. Righties 3.20. First, Manaea. He makes for a very intriguing play with matched up with Max, because you're not obviously going to match him with Stroman, but that's what you're looking at. So Scherzer, Stroman, Bauer, Manaea. I really feel you have to get one of the guys up top. If you want to roll Bauer, Manaea together, though, and really get dicey, you'll get all the bats you want, which could be another nice angle to it. Let's look at those bats at the catcher's position. If you're not using Manaea, Russell Martin, very, very good versus left-handed pitching. He's 3,500, leads the way at the catcher's position. Not lighting the world on fire, but not bad at all. You got the likes of Matt Wieters yet again at 3K versus Blasic of Milwaukee. The righty kind of making a spot start, going to probably go maybe 3-4 innings at the most, could be less depending on pitch count. He had 5 points last night, averaging 5.4 his last 10. Wieters at 3K, not bad versus right-handed pitching. I really, really gonna do my best not to target Scherzer, but you know the Brewers have the ability to hit home runs at will, and Scherzer will give up a couple from time to time. He has gotten hit like two of his last three or four starts, but overall he's probably the best pitcher in baseball, or one of the top three for sure. So Manny Pena catching could be intriguing if he's in at 28. He's played the last couple games, so he'll probably have the day off. It's something to think about. Bruce Maxwell for Stroman, not huge on. What I'm really hoping they do with a day game after a night game, I'm hoping Dusty Baker, and I know asking Dusty Baker to manage with a brain is very difficult, but if he could give us a little Jose Lobaton, big fan of that left-handed switch hitting bat, at $2,300 versus Blasic and then the Milwaukee bullpen, I will take the value of 23, even if it's a zero, but let me punt him with the upside that Lobaton can bring at 23. That would be my guy. If he's in the lineup, he's going to be every catcher I make. I'm not making more than one or two lineups total, but he will be my catcher on the slate. Going to first base, Justin Smoke, switch hitter, hits lefties with a ton of authority. 5,300 versus Manaea. If you're not using Manaea, Smoke is in play. Edwin Encarnacion and Carlos Santana for the Indians. Edwin's 5K, Carlos 4,600. You're facing JC Ramirez, who he's hot and cold. Big slider guy. And Cleveland's 4.76 total. Lefties 3.42, righties 2.99. So he's done very well against the righties. So tip your cap to Santana on that one. Last 30 days, JC Ramirez is sixth worst on the barrel FIP, getting barreled 5.6% of the time. That's a lot. Striking out 16%, walking almost 10.5%. So definitely the Indians are worth a look. And Carlos Santana is always super low owned, hitting a little better of late at that double dong a few games back. My internet is just messing around. He's averaging 9.3 his last 10. He had 13 more points last night. He's swinging a good stick against Ramirez. Could be a nice play that will be a little more overlooked than most. Another one I like, he's heating up. His price tag's up to $3,800, which sucks because we used to like to use him as a nice cheap punt option. But Luis Valbuena coming off a 2-for-3 night with a double and a homer, two ribbies, 21 points. He's averaging 9.1 points his last 10. He's hit 5 home runs in his last 10 games. Luis Valbuena versus Bauer, who we talked about, gives up a lot of hard contact. 37.1% hard contact rate, a 16.1% home run to fly ball. He's a good pitcher. He's just not elite, and he's going to have hiccups. He pitches really, really well or really, really, not good. And the way the Angels are swinging the bat, Valbuena's been hitting towards the middle of the lineup. At $3,800, it's not a horrible play, especially to be contrarian on a small slate. To win a GPP on a small slate, you're going to have to get really weird. I say it all the time, and that could be a play. Luis Valbuena, he's first base, third base at $3,800. And first base, for once, isn't like lights out great to me. You got Yonder Alonso, who's been struggling, versus Stroman at 38, if you want to. Adam Lind at 36 is okay. Eric Thames versus Scherzer at 34, if you really get bored. You got like Kendrys Morales, switch hitting versus Manaea at 33. That's not bad. But, he's 2K cheaper than Smoke. So, what are you going to do there? Other than that, that's all you got at first base. It's pretty bleak. So Valbuena actually stands out as a pretty solid play. Carlos Santana, Smoke up top. And then if you want to hope Yonder Alonso figures it out, those are probably my four guys I'd center my lineups around. Second base, you got Daniel Murphy at 54. If you can pay for him, you play him. Same with Jose Ramirez, second base, third base at 48. I like both of them a lot if you can fit them in. If not, you go down to the likes of Wilmer Defoe, second base shortstop. He's been batting second a lot for the Nats. Not a big power upside guy, but in a game where we figure the Nats to hopefully break out and put up a lot of runs. You got Defoe, who scored 7 points last night, averaging 8.3 his last 10 games. Hitting 314 over that time. A little bit of speed. He does have one homer in his last 10 games. Only two on the whole season, though, so buyer beware. $3,900 upside in a very potent lineup. Other than that, it's like Jed Lowry at 7 or at 3K, but he's in a massive slump facing Stroman. Ryan Goings, 2,500. Not in love with that, though. A nice one for value I can get behind if you're not using Sean Manaea. Darwin Barney is second base, third base, right-handed bat, usually plays against lefties. He doesn't light the world on fire, averaging 10.4 is or 2, 3, bleh, I can't even talk right now. 2.4 is last 10. He's only averaging 3.2 points on the season per game. But he does have upside. He has those random games, especially day games, where he's like, where the heck Darwin Barney come from? And when you're paying 2K, literally the bottom of the barrel pricing, that's great. Like, if you can do Barney at 2K and Lobaton at 23, you have a lot of money to spend at bats, even if you get one of the big two. If we find some more value and you really, really want to gamble on these cheapies, you could probably get Stroman and Scherzer together. Like, you put Valbuena with them or maybe Kendrys Morales at 33. Let's see what we can find out here. We can make something interesting if you really want to gamble. Like, Darwin Barney has to get you 10-plus points to make it work, but if Stroman and Scherzer go off, it's going to be pretty nice. Third base, Anthony Rendon at 54 is very solid. Jose Ramirez, 48, again, like him a ton. Josh Donaldson versus a lefty that used to be an auto play. And at $4,100, would have been like the auto play of the century. Did have 9 points last night, still averaging 5.2 the last 10. Just not as consistent as he once was, but still a solid play, especially on this slate at 41. Louis Valbuena once again at 38. Stephen Drew cracks the lineup. He's third base shortstop, another left-handed bat. Doesn't do much. Defoe's the guy that I like there, but he's 3,700 if you need him. If you want to be contrarian, looking for the home run off Scherzer, Travis Shaw at 36 has tremendous upside. You would not be surprised if Scherzer strikes him out 3 or 4 times, but the upside with Shaw's bat against Scherzer is pretty tremendous in that matchup for that price tag. We've been getting Shaw in the high fours lately, so if you get a discount on him, you take it and you run with it. Lefties do hit 314 off Scherzer compared to righties at 195. So there is a little upside there if you want to go with Shaw as a GPP contrarian play as it gets. I can get behind that. Other guys you're looking at, there was one down here. I like Matt Chapman at 26 if you want the power upside versus Stroman. But a punt I'd use if you're not using Bauer and you want some upside. He got 5 points last night. The kid's played 3 games, and it's been 5, 12, and 16. He's $2,400. Good little prospect for the Angels. I mentioned him yesterday. Caleb Cowart, he's a switch hitter, third baseman, at $2,400. Another value guy against a pitcher that likes to give him up. These are guys we can gamble with. I got no problem with it. Shortstop, you got Lindor at 47, swinging it good again. He's streaking in the right time. I mentioned Defoe. Stephen Drew's okay. Marcus Semien at 36 I like quite a bit if you're not using Stroman. Semien just continues to crush it. We prefer lefties, but he's hitting righties really, really well of late too, so can't sleep on that. If you're not using Manaea, Tulo at 28, really nice upside versus left-handed pitcher there. I'll take that value with Tulo. I know it's not the Tulo of the Rockies eras, but $2,800 for a guy that can definitely run into one is worth a gamble. Head of the outfield, you got Harper at 58, yes. Trout at 56, yes, both great. Again, and here's the thing, if you don't want the two high-priced pitchers, take one high-price, one low-price, take those value bats, you can probably get Harper and Trout together. I haven't put it together, but I'm thinking you could maybe make this work if you want to gamble elsewhere. Brantley at 48, Brantley has been hot. If you don't pay for Harper or Trout, I'd try to sneak Brantley in if you can. Swinging a very, very good bat. Why is my internet sucking so much? He's at 48. You got Bradley Zimmer at 44. Both great plays. Zimmer continues to crush the baseball. Just awesome stuff. Goodwin, 43, leading off for the Nats, is definitely worth a look as well. As you go on some more, here, Bradley's page open. 10 points last night, averaging 11.3 his last 10. You got like Zimmer, 25 more points last night, 10.9 his last 10, 25, 40, 14 his last 3 games. Got to love all of that right there. As we go down a little farther, I mentioned Goodwin. You got Joey Bats, likely leading off versus a lefty in Manaea at 39. That has some serious upside in that matchup. Chris Davis, 38 for Stroman. Not horrible. Not horrible at all. As you go down some more, you can gamble on some of the Brewers' bats, but some are still pricey to me, but like Domingo Santana, we know Scherzer dominates righties, so not the best play in the world at 35. I like Matt Joyce at 33 versus Stroman with some upside there. As you go down some more, like Cole Calhoun at 2,900 versus Bauer is way too cheap if you're not using Bauer. That's a nice value, tremendous upside play there with Calhoun. Kevin Pillar versus Manaea at 28 is not bad at all either. As you go down some more, not using Brinson versus Scherzer. I don't care what he does, just not doing that. And that's about it. Yeah, outfield is bleak, especially down low. So there's your 3-game early slate. We have your pitching. You know, I said Scherzer or Stroman, you're using one of them, and then Bauer, Manaea. So obviously it's Scherzer, Bauer, or Manaea, and then Stroman, Manaea. Those are basically your matchups. And then your bats, you're going to load up on the Nats versus the righty from Milwaukee. Swarzak, as the Nats have a team total of 473. Small samples on Blazak. Sorry, Swarzak, Blazak. Blue Jays versus Manaea is intriguing. Like I said, Indians versus J.C. Ramirez, very nice, 476 total. Lefties, 342. Righties, 299. And then the Angels could be your sneakier play of the day against Bauer. And then like Travis Shaw, some certain lefties. I don't even really like Thames as much, but I can see it at 3,400. Versus Scherzer, if you're looking for that random home run dart. let's get to your 5-game evening slate, where it's not that great when it comes to pitching either. We start up top versus Johnny Lester, 11-9 at the Chicago White Sox. Lester was much better his last go-round, 35.6 points at home against the St. Louis Cardinals, 27.4 at the Braves before that, but then minus 11.9 in that game against Pittsburgh right before the break, 7.3 against Tampa, but then was pitching really, really well prior to that. So it looks like he maybe figured it out since the break. That's what we have to hope. 10-6-0-6, so six or more Ks in three of his last four, two earned runs, one earned run his last two. Going up against the White Sox team that was hitting lefties really well, it's calmed down a little bit. I'm not saying they still can't, but striking out over 21% of the time versus lefties, Lester striking out 25%. Really good swinging strike. Ground ball rate of 50.5. Hard contact extremely low. White Sox team total 467. Lefties 224. Righties 298. But they do have a good wOBA and a really good ISO versus left-handed pitching. So it's pick your poison. Avigdor Garcia's on the DL. That's one fewer right-handed bat. So Lester at 11-9 could be in play. Another guy I really like up top here, and he should be chalky, but maybe not. Chris Archer, 11,100. We know the home runs road splits are legit. There's no sugarcoating that. In his whole career, it's been that way. It's been better this year. 23.9 points at home, 18.5 on the road. Like ERA in his career. Let me pull this up. I got it right here. When it comes to since 2016, 2.99 ERA at home, 4.92 on the road. So definitely a little bit of a concern there. But you got Archer. With a 29.3% K rate, he's on the last 30 days, he's 11th best on the barrel FIP. He's striking out 29.7 his last 30 days, getting barreled 2.17% of the time. Yankees do strike out 22.4% of the time versus righties. And I've mentioned it a few times now, they are struggling quite a bit. They're slumping going into the break, and since the break, slumping a lot. And In the month of July, they've struck out 24.2% of the time versus right-handed pitching. And you got Archer, who has struck out 8 or more in 4 straight games. I was reading you that game log, and he's just been filthy of late. If it'll load back up, I apologize. This internet is just ridiculous this morning. I can't figure it out. But 32-8, 21-5, 19, 20.9, that 12-1 and 9-5 stink, but 25-3. 32, 16-4. When we're looking at the Ks, it's like 7, 11, 8, 8, 4, 5, 8, 8, 9, 11. So very, very good stuff with Archer. If you're paying up, I'd probably go Archer, just the upside. But Lester is worth the look if you're paying. I don't think you have to pay tonight. You can. More than welcome to. Last few nights I haven't. We've talked about it. Darvish got lit up. Tie on the night before. These guys have the same matchup issues. Not to their extents, but pretty bad. I look at guys like I'm going to save money on. You can save $3,500 from Lester to Zach Godley. $8,400 at the St. Louis Cardinals. Godley coming off a 20-point performance against the Nats. This is his points lately. 20, 14, 1, 19, 8, 19, 6, 26.8, 22, 20.6, 14.7, 21.9. Sound good? Sounds good to me. Really does. He's been outstanding, especially against right-handed pitching. If you take a deep dive into his stats, he has a 27% or more K rate and a low wOBA versus right-handed batters, one of the best in all of baseballs, one of the best home run to fly balls versus right-handed batters, one of the best slugging percentage versus right-handed batters. He's just really, really good. And when it comes to lefties, he has just an amazing ground ball rate against lefties, over 60%. So he gets the righties out via the K. He gets the lefties out via the ground ball, sometimes the K. Does a lot really well. The Cardinals strike out 21.3% of the time versus righties. Godley, 26.2% K rate. A swinging strike rate of 14.6 and a ground ball rate, like we mentioned, being very good at 55.8. Lots and lots to like in that matchup. Cardinals, when you're looking at Godley, lefties do hit 332. Righties, 292. We talked about his righties dominance. And really, you got Matt Carpenter, maybe Greg Garcia. There's no Dexter Fowler anymore. You're looking at 7 or 8 right-handed bats in the Cardinals lineup. Now, does that mean I won't like want to use the guys like Pham and DeJong and stuff if I'm not using Godley? No, I'll still gamble with their power upside. But Godley is in a great spot at $8,400. I think he has just as much upside as an Archer or a Lester, given Archer and Lester might have more Ks. But Godley, we've seen him strike out a bunch, and 20 points or more from Godley at $8,400. Use the 3K plus elsewhere. I'm all in. Now, this is a play I really, really like, and it's risky. And it's like I said with C-Mart, I'll go all in. It wasn't the prettiest C-Mart start, but he still finished with 18.1 points, which I will take on that slate when you looked at the carnage that took place. I'm talking C.C. Sabathia, $7,700 at home against the Rays. C.C., 18-6, 19-3, minus 3.6, 14-6, 29, 27-3, 26-9, 22-3, 22-8. Not bad for the old big man there. And he's $7,700, never owned. He's faced Tampa twice this year, 10 innings, 7 hits, 1 earn, 3 walks, 8 Ks in those 10 innings, averaging 19.3 points a game versus Tampa. It's a Tampa Bay team that strikes out a ton. They strike out 26.3% of the time versus left-handed pitching. CeCe's got a ground ball rate of 50.2. Tampa has the lowest team total on the evening slate. We don't have Cardinals and D-backs yet. Those might be lower. But at the moment, the Rays team total of 415 is the lowest on the evening slate. You got a 289 average for the lefties, 311 for the righties. A barely average wOBA of 305 versus lefties is still a good ISO of 152. So we always know the power's there from the righties and the lefties versus lefties. We've seen Lomo take Chris Sale deep. These guys can hit lefties. We're not worried about that, but they strike out a ton. And it's really, really good upside with CeCe. He has the second best ERA in baseball since May 16th at 1.62. Only Corey Kluber's better than him. He's 7-1 and with a 22% K rate, a 51.8% ground ball rate, and a 29.2% hard hit rate in that time period. He has been outstanding since May 16th. Really, really good stuff with CeCe at $7,700. If he gets shelled, I'm fine with it. I don't care if he gives up a couple runs. I'm looking for the K upside against a Tampa Bay team. And it might backfire. When CeCe's chalk, which he could be, it sucks. So just buyer beware. But I really like the chance to save money and use a guy with some tremendous upside. Next up, you got Luke Weaver. $6,400. The big, big prospect for the St. Louis Cardinals, making the start for Adam Wainwright. You got Weaver in the minors this year. A 1.91 ERA, 2.96 FIP, 3.82 xFIP. We're talking a K per 9 of 9.41, home run per 9 of 0.41. These are all really, really good things, folks. A strikeout rate of 27.3%. He had a 27 last year in the bigs, 28.6 in AA, 18.2 in triple. So 27.3%, walk rate of 5.5. Lots and lots to like about Luke Weaver. The one thing I did want to check, the reason why I brought this up, is I want to see what his splits are in this matchup against the D-backs. This year, these aren't his minor numbers. God, Fangraphs, I hate when you do this. But in his career, you're looking at lefties do hit him better than righties. The lefties definitely do hit him better than righties, but not like a ton. They're not crushing him. They do hit him better than righties. The one fun thing we talk about all the time is Arizona is a much different ball club outside of Coors Field, and makes Luke Weaver a very intriguing play at 6,400. He's been stretched out. Pitch count shouldn't be an issue. If you want to save some money and take a gamble against a D-backs team, like I said, struggles on the road, Weaver at 64 is in play. One last guy I will say you can take a gamble on if you want, but it's really, really risky. He's Luis Perdomo at 6,300. Big-time ground ball guy. We've seen him do really, really well at Petco. He averages 12.1 points a game at Petco, 9.2 on the road. The one thing I like about him is outside of two starts ago in Coors, he had a minus 10.2. So take Coors out of it. 13-5, 15-9, 10-6, 25-3, 11-5, 15-6. That's like five or six straight starts in double digits. At $6,300, that shows upside. I like that quite a bit. Scary part is you're facing the Mets that have a lot of lefties in their lineups, and lefties, they like to spank Perdomo. The other fun thing, though, I know we don't have Cardinals and D-backs team totals yet, but the Mets have the second lowest total at the moment at 419. Rays versus CeCe, Mets versus Perdomo. Something to think about. Lefties do hit 371, righties 342. They have a really good ISO in Woba versus lefties. It's risk-reward with Perdomo, but that ground ball rate could bail him out. He's not a big strikeout guy, but 6,300 with some upside. So your pitchers, you got Lester, Archer up top. I'd probably go Archer over Lester. You got Godley and Sabathia. I go Sabathia over Godley, but I like them both. I'll have some of those combined. And then Weaver, Perdomo down below. Weaver over Perdomo is the way I'm looking at those ones. Let's jump into your bats here at the catcher's position. Wilson Contreras, 48 versus Pelfrey. Pelfrey, it's funny. He doesn't get shelled like he used to. He limits the damage. Doesn't pitch gems. Like, you don't use him in daily fantasy, but he doesn't get crushed either. So he makes for interesting, you know, plays, and it's hard to fade him. But Contreras has been absolutely on fire. If you're going to pay for a catcher at 48, he could be that guy. Gary Sanchez, you know, I'm not looking to fade Archer, but we know Archer can blow up on the road. If you want to be contrarian for guys that own a lot of Archer, Sanchez at 42 is worth a look. I'll be dropping down to guys like JT Realmuto versus Robert Stevenson of the Reds. Stevenson, not good at baseball, as we know. Marlins have a high total of 491. Lefties 413, righties 390 off Stevenson. So Marlins definitely in play after going for like 22 runs against the Rangers and Yu Darvish on Wednesday. But Realmuto hits righties extremely well at 3,700. It's definitely in play. If you aren't going to use Weaver and you want to fade him, like a Chris Iannetta is not bad. But Chris Herrmann, the left-handed bat at 3,100, we like. If Hector Sanchez cracks the lineup, the Mets are throwing out their youngster Flexen. I honestly don't know too much about him except he's not that good. That's all I really know. Like, peripheral-wise, not great. When you look at the Padres, they actually have a team total of 4-3-1. Yeah, Chris Flexen, there's really nothing about him. But let me look it up for you real quick. Give me 2 seconds here. Chris Flexen. Yeah, because Hector Sanchez could be some nice value when you're looking at catcher's position with power upside. Flexen got drafted in 212. This will be his debut. He got called up from Double-A. Double-A is pitching well at 1.66 ERA, and Single-A is where he started the year at 213. So super, super wet behind the ears, if you know what I mean. K rates in the mid to high 20s, low walk rate. So not bad. Not bad at all. You just got to wonder, taking that jump from Double-A to Triple-A, what are we really going to see from this kid? So keep an eye on that. I have no problem using some Padres against him because nobody ever uses Padres. I like that a lot. If Wilson Ramos cracks the lineup versus Sabathia, he's 3K. If you're not using CeCe, if not Sucre at 28, I have no problem fading CeCe. I just think he's pitching so, so well. I don't want to fade CeCe. I want to use CeCe. Jeff Mathis, 2,500, continues to be a nice, cheap catcher of late also for the D-backs. Kevin Smith for the White Sox, 2,300 versus Lester. As a punt, if you want to go that direction, head on over to first base. You got the likes of Anthony Rizzo at 53 versus Pelfrey's outstanding. Pelfrey's a big sinker guy. Rizzo loves that sinker low in the zone to crush the baseball. Goldschmidt at 52, okay, not bad. Joey Votto versus O'Grady from Miami, very solid play at 5,100. Reds are outstanding as well tonight, not just the Marlins. 4.56 total, lefties 243, righties 417 off O'Grady. Votto doesn't count. He's a great hitter. Lucas Duda, 43, a nice left-handed bat versus Perdomo. Lomote, 41 versus CeCe. Both aren't bad at all. Will Myers at 4K is in play. Jose Abreu versus Lester at 37 could be sneaky. Matt Carpenter at 35 as well. Matt Davidson, first base, third base at 32. All low-priced, tough matchups, but have some upside indeed. And that's it. Your lowest guy is probably going to be Matt Davidson will be your low man on the pull. Going to second base, you lead it off with Ian Happ. Happ let us down last night, but he's back at 46. Ben Zobrist at 44, I do like, especially if he's leading off again. I like that a lot. D. Gordon has been really, really, really good of late. He led off last night with a home run, 19 points last night. 9.5 in his last 10. He's got 4 steals in his last 10 games. He's got 36 steals on the season. Always overlooked. He's $4,300 and definitely in play tonight. He's probably my top second baseman on the board. Scooter Gennett at 43 is not bad at all against O'Grady. Second base outfield eligible. You got Jubal Cabrera, 39. Paul DeJong still hitting third in that lineup, still below 4K. He's $3,800. He's one of the few righties I would take a chance on versus Godley if you're not using him. He's second base shortstop. Just tremendous, tremendous power. Back-to-back games with homers, 14 games and less than 50 games on the season. Really good stuff there. As you go down, Yoan Moncada, $3,300. Yoan Moncada went deep last night. I love that. 18 points. He's a switch hitter. He's been batting in the middle of the order. He's $3,300, and he loves to run, and you can run on Lester all day long. So he's got to get on base. It's always a caveat. But Yoan can be in a sneaky play at $3,300, second base, third base, eligible. If you want to get different, you got Flexen pitching for the Mets. Carlos, I will butcher this, I part Asuahe. He's their second baseman, lefty, $3,200. If he's hitting towards the top of the order, I like that as a nice punt option there. Get on base. Hopefully score a couple runs for you for cheap. Because value is really bad on this slate. Really, really bad. That's probably the cheapest second baseman I'd go with. Unless something comes out of the lineups. Third base, Chris Bryant, 55. Jake Lamb at 52. Yep. We prefer him in Chase, though. So, loses a little bump, but yeah, still good. Corey Spangenberg, third base outfield eligible at 4K versus Flexen. That could be a nice play. Some of these left-handed bats are cheap for San Diego. You'll get Flexen and then bullpen. Could be very, very nice. You'll see it everywhere. Evan Longoria loves him some CC Sabathia at $3,900. So, that'll be all over every DFS tout site out there. Eugenio Suarez, 39, okay, it's not bad at all. Moncada, I mentioned at 32, Matt Davidson at 30, or Moncada 33, Davidson at 32, I like both those looks. Derek Dietrich had a big game last night, of course, 22 points, who didn't have one for the Marlins, but he's $3,100, worth a look for O'Grady. Definitely will be a nice lower-owned option in that one. Then again, not too much when it comes to the punt positions. All the good punts are on the early slate, which makes... I might have to go read... I made lineups for the early ones last night. I might have to go dig back in there. Heading over to shortstop is Jubal Cabrera again, 39. DeJong, 38. Didi continues to crush it. So if you're fading Archer, Didi at 37 is very, very much worth a look. Jose Reyes at 37 is okay, but I'd probably go Didi or pay up some more. As you go down... I don't want to use Tyler Wade, but he's 2,900 if you need to. Ketel Marte, swinging it well. He's 2,800 versus Weaver. That'd probably be my top punt so far going down the list. You got Tim Beckham. Last time they faced a lefty a few games ago, they let him off. He went deep. If Tim Beckham's in the lineup, let alone at 2,600 is worth the value punt play if you're not playing CC. If he's hitting towards the top of the order, he's almost a must punt or a must play. Something to think about there as well. Let's head out to the outfield and wrap her up for you. And we'll kick it off with Giancarlo, 57. My goodness, the 500-footer he hit last night was insane. 28 points last night. He's averaging 14.3 his last 10 games. He has 7 home runs in his last 10 games. 7 of his 12 hits the last 10 games are home runs. That is just ridiculous. On the season, 33 homers out of his 103 hits. Basically 30% of his hits, roughly, are home runs. That is just insane what he's doing with the baseball. Michael Conforto at 54 is worth a look in Petco as lefties do crush Perdomo. Definitely worth a look. Paul at 53, Martinez 51 versus Weaver. If you're fading Weaver, D-backs, I can't say I hate them, but they just do struggle a lot on the road. So don't be surprised if they don't hit, but it is a good matchup. But Weaver's also really good. You just don't know what Weaver you're going to get. I know this is very confusing now that I just made this whole mess, but... I would prefer Weaver over the Arizona bats, but I get if you're using Arizona. That's where I'm going with this. Happ at 46. Tommy Pham at 46. DeJong and Pham are the only righties I'd use versus Godley. Souza Jr. 45 versus Sabathia is worth the look. Zobrist at 44. I like that. Marcelo Zuna at 44. Duvall at 44. Those are all pretty solid looks. Jay Bruce at 44. I like that as well. I mentioned Scooter Gennett at 43. Hayward at 4K, especially if he's leading off again, could be worth a dart. I like me some Billy Hamilton. 4K leading off, ability to steal. Put Hamilton and Gordon in a lineup together, get a couple steals on the night. Could be a nice little fun evening there. Christian Yelich, he's going to probably be the cover boy. He's 4K. 37 points last night, 11.6 his last 10. The month of July, he's crushing the baseball. He changed his swing. They're showing a lot more elevation in his swing. And he's on fire. And he's still only 4K, so he's definitely in play. After Yelich at 4K, you look at Renfro power upside if you want at 4K, Spangenberg at 4K. Malik Smith at 38 is definitely in play, especially if he's towards the top. When he's been in at the bottom, it's not as ideal, but still, it's okay. But against Sabathia, I'd probably look elsewhere too. Schwarber, 37, I do like. Melky Cabrera, he's a good switch hitter. Top of the order hits lefties just fine. He's 3,600. I like that quite a bit with the Milkman if you're not using Lester. Because White Sox bats should be low on Lester, and Archer should be heavy on tonight. I'm guessing Archer a little more than Lester, but both should get their fair share of ownership if you want to fade them. I like the White Sox bats quite a bit if you're fading. They also could put up a goose egg, so be careful. Hermann at 31, Schebler at 31, power upside there. And as you go down, not a whole lot to like. Adam Engel, no. Lefty-lefty, I'm going to stay away from that. Wow. Harrison Bader, he's 27 versus Godley. I didn't want to use another righty, but if you want a punt play, he's $2,700. He's averaging 10 points in his two games since he's been called up, 13 and 7 in both games, doubles in both games. He's worth an option down below if you need to save some cash. Not the most ideal option, but he is an option nonetheless. So there's your five-game evening slate. Lester, Archer up top. I go Archer over Lester. In the middle, Godley, Sabathia. I go Sabathia over Godley. And down below, you got Weaver, Perdomo in that order. Let's take a look at your stacks if you're doing that. You could look at Arizona if you feel like fading Weaver, which is not a horrible play. The Cubs versus Pelfrey, definitely a play. Lefties 385 compared to the 329 of righties. The Marlins versus Stevenson, I love a 494 total. Lefties 413, righties 390. Yelich's only 4K. He should be a part of that. D. Gordon's a nice play, low owned. Obviously Stanton and company. I like the White Sox versus Lester at 4.67 total is intriguing. And then the Reds versus O'Grady at 4.56 total. Lefty's only 243, righty's 4.17. It's a small sample, but it makes like a Duval, Eugenio Suarez much more appealing. I still love me some Votto, and I'm not going to sleep on Billy Hamilton who could get on and run for days. So those are the kind of things I'm looking at stacking-wise. With your BVP for the entire day, as we go down, there's not much so far. Pretty darn bleak. Okay, against Archer, Ellsbury's horrible, so I still don't even recommend using him, but he's 20 for 40 lifetime with two doubles and two homers. Gardner's 11 for 40 with two doubles, two triples, and a homer. Didi Gregorius, 7 for 21 with two doubles. Something to look at there. CeCe Longoria, he's hitting 405 lifetime, 30 for 74. Nine doubles and seven home runs off CeCe. You're going to hear that everywhere today. He's been great against him. I can't sugarcoat it, but you're going to hear it everywhere. Souza Jr., 6 for 16 with a homer. Plouffe, only batting 261, but he's taking him deep. He does hit lefties well if you want to be really off the wall. Realmuto, I told you that he hits righties well. This is an extremely small sample, but he's 3 for 3 with a double and two homers. I like that. I know it's a small sample. When you're 3 for 3 and a double and two homers, you keep an eye on that. I mentioned the Milkman could be sneaky. He's batting 289 lifetime at 13 for 45. Good sample size with two doubles and one homer. Jason Hayward, 6 for 18 lifetime with two doubles and a homer off Pelfrey. So those are some of the guys to keep an eye on with your BVP. So there you have it, guys. Fun little three-game. Well, three games not as fun. The five games not bad. I can get behind it, but both slates aren't the biggest, so don't go crazy. Be contrarian. Get weird. Make it happen. We'll be back with a full slate on Friday. Don't forget to check out the UFC 214 preview pod with myself and the guests Dougie and Wes Colvin of the MMA Analysis. That was a ton of fun. Check out Around the Bases, episode 22, talking some past trades, lots of speculations. There's already been a couple of trades since we recorded. Going to be a fun trade deadline coming up. We kind of preview where things can happen. And then you got NASCAR coming up this weekend, so lots to look forward to. But more importantly, good luck today. Be careful. Don't go crazy. This was your Thursday, July 27th, MLB DFS Quick Hits. I'll catch you guys later. I'm out.
Life's better with an auto policy from American Family Insurance. No matter what dreams you're driving towards. That's because our expert agents will make you feel totally protected with the right auto coverage at the right price. You'll also save up to 23% when you bundle auto with home. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.